This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Luke and Kathleen, and today we're going to be talking episode 3 of Hulu's new original series, A Murder at the End of the World. Today's episode is entitled Survivors. And before we dive in, of course, I got to go through the Bingetown TV housekeeping. If you found us from our Murder at the End of the World feed, I do want to reroute you over to our main flagship Bingetown TV feed, which contains all of our backdated episodes. Or better yet, I would reroute you over to bingetowntv.com. That's the easiest way to browse our library of all of our past shows. We just wrapped covering on the House of Usher for spooky season. I know there's some Mike Flanagan fans out there. Gen V on Amazon Prime. We have some anime shows that we're covering. Attack on Titan, Jujutsu Kaisen. Currently, we are actually covering MGM Plus's Beacon 23. We are also covering Survivor. So what I'm trying to say is we hit it all genres. You can find it all on bingetowntv.com. Also, we have a Discord. So if you want to just talk to us directly, go over to our Discord community. It is ever growing, and we actually have some good debates, conversations going on over there. So definitely check that out. And last but certainly not least, I do want to shout out two Twitter accounts that have been showing us some love. So we want to show that love right back. That is going to be at Cancel Netflix and at Incorrect OA. That is an audible laugh from Kathleen. I find it hilarious too. It is at Cancel Netflix, aka Canceled on a Cliffhanger. Clearly, they take offense to Netflix axing these shows before they get to finish their stories. And of course, they are sympathetic to our girl, Britt Marling, and the OA. Rest in peace to that show. Maybe it's coming back. Maybe it's not. In any rate, at Cancel Netflix, at Incorrect OA, give them a follow, and we appreciate the love, friends of the pod over there. But yes, episode 3, Survivors. This show is grinding along, and it is certainly a slow burn. It is enjoyable. I am just waiting for it to start messing up my mind in the way that only Britt and Zal can do. It hasn't quite gotten there yet, but I really enjoy all the characters, starting with our protagonist, Darby. It's just more of the same going on there. And I think, Kathleen, you touched on it. This is really just a classic Agatha Christie, like, and then there were none sort of deal. And that's where we're at so far. But I do like the storytelling. I like the flashbacks that we're getting. And that's all I have to say for my opening monologue. I'm going to hit it over to Luke.
I want to sign a petition to change the name of the show from A Murder at the End of the World to Murders at the End of the World. Drop that A, because it's fucking it's a lie. It's totally a lie. I really didn't expect this. I thought it was going to be all about solving Bill and just the connections to Bill, which it does seem like that's going to be an important piece here. But I think I had such a misread on what I thought the masked guy was going to be for this story, and then what I thought Lee was going to be for this story. The Lee one is definitely something that struck me by surprise, and we'll talk about that more when we get to her scenes. But the masked guy took a left turn, and I kind of like it because I don't think I saw like guesses anywhere about how it really turned out. But overall, of course, this is only episode 3. It's going to give us more questions than it is answers, but it does end with a banger, and I'm ready for episode 4.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And I was saying to Luke before that when we're taking notes for a podcast, sometimes you can like omit things. You don't need to type every little ounce of everything for every show. But for this show, it's making me feel like I need to, because certain things like Zoomer sneezing I'm like, why did he just sneeze? That was obviously right. That little kid was acting that sneeze out. So the sneeze was written in the thing. So I have a few just like up at the top theories to throw at you guys. Number one, is there any way that these two stories can be linked? Is there any way that Andy is the murderer in the book? You know what I mean? Like, is there any way that the people in this place have something to do with the murders that we're watching in the flashbacks?
That's a great question to ask. I'm inclined to think it has something to do with it. Otherwise, Why are these flashbacks playing such a pivotal role other than to establish Bill and Darby's history? That would be a very interesting twist. I honestly hadn't given that idea much thought.
So my only thought on the reason that this would be there, if it wasn't connected, and I'm on team, they're not connected, is because they're using it to not only characterize both Bill and Darby and their relationship, but they're using it for like messaging and to show you lessons that Darby potentially could have learned from Bill to apply to this investigation. And one thing that I specifically caught for episode three was Bill is saying how that he thought the guy in the story was so good that nobody could ever catch him. And then it flashes directly to Darby in modern day. So I think there's going to be some interplay there, but I don't think they're going to be connected. That would be wild. And I do think Britt and Zal can pull it off. I just don't see it yet. I think it's more about the messaging and the themes that are running in parallel, but that's where I'm at.
I am also team. They're not connected. I also get the sense that Bill and Darby got some closure with that bad guy too, and that case is closed.
Right.
For lack of a better term. Interesting. But so.
Yep. I was just thinking it through, and I agree, Luke, you know, it's fleshing out Darby and Bill as characters, but the Raised Tavern of it all that we talked about last week that they come across with the Morse code, you know, again, the Morse code comes up. We said that's going to play a part last week, and it did again in episode three. But yeah, so that's one thing too. Is there a universe where Ray isn't actually AI? Like, he's a real person. And the only reason I say that is because I thought it was weird in this episode where when he answered the question of, is anyone here normal? I feel like Ray would be like, what the fuck does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, I just clocked that as such a weird response. Like, no, and you're not either. It's like, what?
But my issue with that, I like the idea of it being more than just like a new form of AI. But my issue with that is how he was unable to understand what was like an idiom or something like that she used.
Oliver's deal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I don't. And then also the speed at which he actually gives information to Darby upon request throws that off a little bit. But it's not going to be as simple as Ray is just a storytelling element just to make Darby have somebody to talk to. That would be a little boring. There's going to be something deeper there, but I don't think it's a real person. But I like the theory.
I mean, we got the confirmation today that basically Andy knows every single thing that she's doing. Like, we keep being like, girl, why are you talking to Ray? Like, what is happening? Like, you're making me nervous. Okay. And my last one, and then we can get into the episode, is this is one I just saw online, which is funny because I was joking that either Ray became sentient and was the murderer, or Zoomer was jokingly the murderer. But that Zoomer is somehow AI as well. I've seen a few different things. One, that he is actually sick, like chronically sick, fatally sick, and that's why the oxygen tanks were going in and out of the room. So the Zoomer that we see is like AI version of him, and that's why he can detected Bill's heart rate in the first episode with just like a stethoscope and like certain things, where the whole thing with Zoomer in his like AI world, I'm not sure, like, but I thought it was pretty compelling. And the door opening and closing, that you couldn't see anybody in the camera, like Zoomer short enough he could have been the person that went in the room.
A joke so to makes, real? One of our bits.
I love when my joke guesses come real.
And also, did your Reddit research confirm that there were oxygen tanks in episode one, which you guys tried to gaslight was not a thing?
That is, we didn't gaslight shit.
Oh,
all I said
yeah,
was
you
I didn't
did.
Clock it. All I said was,
yeah,
I
we both
I
said we
that.
Didn't
I'll
notice.
Clock you, man.
Fuck you.
That's all I'm saying.
But those are my three things that I wanted to talk at the top.
Cool. I guess this is a good time for me to bring up well, I'm going to call it my theory, but this is compliments of my roommate, Fritz. He thinks that Zoomer is Bill's son and has since episode one.
Ooh.
I think that's a spicy theory. We get a conversation. So I just want to throw that out. You guys digest that, and then we'll bring it back up when we cover the Lee and Darby conversation, because okay. that kind of becomes relevant there.
I love it. I want Zoomer to be important because you guys are making me think that he is more, and I haven't put enough thought into that. But yeah, there's something weird about him, and that kind of got highlighted at the end of this episode. But,
yep. Starts with his name.
Yep, let's true. Let's jump into this. And what we're going to do first is go through the flashbacks just because they're pretty isolated. It's the only, I think it's three separate scenes, but it's just an expansion on Bill and Darby's background, their storyline. And it takes place directly after them meeting at Ray's Tavern. And then we'll open up the whole thing here for conversation because I already brought up the quote that I thought was important, which was Darby took away from this investigation that sometimes the killer or whoever's in charge of whoever did the crime sometimes thinks they're too smart to get caught. And that could be a key to her catching whoever's doing the crimes in Iceland. But there's that piece. And then they actually get to talk to one of the victims that escaped the White Doe killer. So I didn't take much out of it besides just progressing their storyline slowly to match up with the modern storyline. But did you guys want to talk about anything there?
Within this, I just wanted to quickly talk about just kind of the irony in Bill talking about that death by GPS story where they drove right into the quicksand. And just that this whole entire show is about AI, reliance, technology, things like that. And, you know, Bill probably died by that hand. You know, he died. Something went wrong. Something malfunctioned. Someone did something. And then we know he did not shoot himself up with morphine. So something happened. I just thought it was ironic that, you know, he's telling this whole story about the death by GPS. And then it ends up being that he dies that way. And that's the entire Andy Ronson world is technology. So
I agree. Yeah. I mean, the quote that he said, I wrote down, people trust the blue dot more than they trust themselves. And we're kind of seeing in this story, Darby in the background is relying a lot on the information that she is getting from Ray to kind of just make the case easier for her to solve. Just she can ask Ray a question, he gives it to her. But at what point do we have to question the reliability of Ray, seeing as though he is Andy's AI? He's like, oh, the last web crawl I have access to was a week ago. Okay, did Andy change the internet in the last week or kind of scour it to remove information that he doesn't want Darby to have access to? So kind of just the establishment from Bill in these flashbacks that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be relying on AI, just rely on yourself and the brain that's in between your ears.
Mm-hmm. Coffee and soda is disgusting.
Yeah. Is that a thing? Have either of you ever heard of that? No.
Never will.
Okay. Good. Yeah. They also talk about the motives of him, and they can't really like nail down a potential motive of him. And I guess that's kind of the same here in Iceland at the retreat. Like, who would just be killing people right now? I was actually a little let down with the conversation with the survivor because the survivor didn't really like give us any insights. I mean, she does give them the silver thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with that in the modern day storyline, because we have to get to the point where they're sitting at that motel and they know exactly where the house is. Yeah. And I didn't take anything from there, but
I'll just say that they found the high school, so then they could go back, see, okay, if it's from 2000, who graduated that year that would get that pin, who's missing. You know, it could be just things like that, like missing cases from that's where they're going to follow it. But yeah, you know, I think that's how that's how it happens with survivors, especially. She said it was 16 years ago. You try and block it out. It's traumatizing. So yeah, bleach and aftershave and the pin. Those are the three things we got. The pin's going to lead us to the high school. And then that's where it's going to take us next. But happy she survived, girl. So good for you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And the killer's MO is that he takes some silver jewelry from his previous victim and leaves it with the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting MO. I'll give him that.
It is.
I hate that people are dying, but
it's no Dexter blood slide, but you know,
it's like a Criminal Minds episode.
With this serial killer flashback storyline, I keep thinking of Mindhunters, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Oh, great show.
Speaking of cancel Netflix.
Right.
Yeah, for real. Seriously. Anything else on the flashbacks?
Mm-mm.
All right. So why don't we just go back to present day in Iceland? I guess the whole opening scene in Iceland is kind of the pre-Zeba's singing performance where Darby finally gets to interrogate some of the other guests. And this is one of those things, Kathleen, where I was writing down every little thing that everyone was saying. I was like, I cannot miss a piece of dialogue. But then I kind of rewatched it and was looking over it. And I was like, oh, man, she didn't really figure out that much. Brief interaction with Rohan where he's clearly skittish and avoiding her. We find out more about that later. Lume is showing an interest. Oh, are you okay? But it seems very not genuine at all. I don't know if you guys were getting that impression. And then Lee kind of goes up to her and strikes up a conversation, and we get finally some closure of Lee. Why the hell aren't you hacking into the surveillance yourself?
Yeah, I honestly needed that to really kind of, because those were some writing questions we were having, like what was the deal with Lee being all vague there and not actually having the time to do it herself. But that all gets explained here. I was fine with the explanations, because what I mentioned at the top of this episode was how the Lee storyline is going way differently than I thought. She doesn't seem to know much, and I didn't expect it to go like that, where it really seems like she's hiring Darby to do all the work for her because she doesn't have the time. And she mentioned the kid. So it doesn't seem like the kid is like blackmail or the leverage that Andy has on her that we were kind of theorizing last podcast. It didn't, just the way she was talking about it didn't give me that vibe. So I don't think it's going to be like that. It's just weird that I thought Lee would be more in the know than she is. And it just doesn't seem like it's like that.
I completely agree. And I actually was getting a little sketched out by Lee in this episode for the first time. I think we had said in the one and two that she was going to be good. And I don't know that anymore to be true. She was being so sketchy. And yeah, Luke, I agree. I think I expected her to know more and be more aware and be on the take, you know, like first in line, ready to go. I mean, the guy that's sketchy, Andy, is right next to you. He's your husband. Like, you should know some things. And she's like a genius hacker. So I think I like her reasoning went later when it's just those two in the room, and Darby was like keeping things from her. I was happy. And then when Darby showed her things, I was like, I don't know if I trust Lee fully yet, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I agree. I was just hoping she would be more capable and more of a contributor to the investigation. I'm chalking it up to she is just scared of Andy and his controlling nature, which we've kind of talked about in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Andy, he walks up, interrupts a conversation. We actually get the answer to why she didn't hack it herself in the next conversation. Mm-hmm. But Andy's creepy. He's like, do you taste metal?
Yeah, you know? What the fuck?
What kind of a question is that? Creep. But he drops the nugget of information that they knew Bill previously. He helped them save a home from falling into the river or whatever. And then also mentioned that he was helping Lee with a punk salon or something like that. I don't know. It was just a throwaway line that tells us that Bill, Andy, and Lee have a past together. But Andy says he doesn't really know her or him very well.
Right.
I just took that to mean like she had a bunch of misfits coming in and out helping with that house, like kind of a string of them. Yeah, like not just Bill, but other people as well, like a bunch of misfit toys, you know.
I took away that Lee and Bill definitely had a history together, but Andy didn't really care that much. He was just a guy to Andy at the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I loved the answer to the pictures, if that's what it was, of Bill and Lee in the past, being that there's got to be more to that story, right? Than they just hooked up one time and they were friends. There's got to be more there.
I think that they spent a lot of time. They only hooked up once, but they spent a lot of time together and built a friendship. So I'm buying it. I'm still buying it. Like, those pictures seem like, I think Lee does really care about Bill and probably vice versa, just because they've only hooked up once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Lee might still be withholding information about the nature of their history together. But that's really all we have at this point in time. So the next conversation is with Thomas, the waiter, who she apologizes for running into him. I kind of forget that that happened, but then she's immediately like, yo, tell me about the tea. Who ordered the literally the spill tea. The tea, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spill the tea. Who ordered the tea to Bill's room on that night and how many cups were there? Mm-hmm. And he's clearly like frazzled, like, oh, you should not be asking these questions. I got to go serve other people. So Thomas, his lips are sealed. And then Sean, who is cocky as all get off, is just like, oh, you're going to interrogate me next? I'm like, come on. Although she's trying to give her advice and it's like, yo, listen, Andy invited you here because he sees something in you. Don't bite the hand that could be your ally in the future. But this also seems like those words are coming either from Andy or like that she's just playing the part of stop this investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just quickly, too, Sean, when she says that Darby only sold 2,000 of the 5,000 they printed of her books, I was actually shocked by that. I thought it was a little more mainstream, that book, than it actually was. Only 2,000 people own that book, which is very interesting. It's not like Darby busted open this, like, unsolved murder thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting. Did you guys take anything away from that, or were you guys just take that at face value? I was just shocked. I thought it was a bigger book.
Yeah, I mean, ebooks are a thing. I don't know if they were going for that. It was like smaller than it was supposed to be, and I also don't know what the ratio of like what you're supposed to sell when you actually hard print books. But I didn't think about that line too much. Besides, it seeming like she was getting belittled a tiny bit, and yeah, maybe that's totally what it was. Because Sean's mm-hmm. an asshole, and
yes.
She also says that Andy invited Darby, but is that meaning like Andy invited everybody there, or is that meaning that Andy used one of his five invites on Darby? That was the piece that I was, because you know how we kept talking about who were the yeah. four for Lee and who were the five for Andy. That could be like a little interesting bit of a twist there, because to me, that could mean what if this whole thing is going to be a red herring and Lee is the bad guy and Andy is the good guy? There's like a pathway there because of how sketchy cool. Lee's being, but go ahead.
Also, per Lee in the later conversation, Lee tells Darby that Bill was invited by Andy. So yes. Bill was not a Lee invite too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Definitely. I'm buying in that Lee is bad and Andy's good. I mean, Andy's good to a point, right? I kind of fuck Andy still. Not I would fuck Andy, but fuck him. Well, we'll see. But anyway, I would say that I like the idea of Lee being the bad guy better than Andy being the bad guy. We kind of talked about if Andy's a bad guy, duh. So yeah. I'm kind of hoping that Lee, it will be. I'm sure that it'll be more intertwined than just a regular whodunit. So
yeah, but I did make a guarantee that Lee was good. So for my reputation, I would rather it not work out that way. But I see what you mean. It would be more yeah. fun to have the reverse happen.
Yes.
Yeah. You did yeah. make a sweeping declaration that she would not be bad. So I'm kind of rooting for it now.
Hey, man, I have you down here for Ziba is clean and David's bad. So we'll talk about some of your predictions, too.
If David does some great things later, this episode is confirmation that he is a dick to his core. So he's bad, even if he has nothing to do with the murder.
Yeah, fuck that. David.
No, I digress. On to the Ziba performance. Ziba dedicates it to Bill. She very matter-of-factly is like, everybody probably knows this, but I'm only here because of Bill. I don't think we had any information that they were that tight. And I guess they might not have been, because she says she was just an admirer of his art. So I guess that is meant to put her further off of our radar. I don't know. What are you guys thinking? It was a beautiful song, too.
It was. She's not even on my radar.
Me
neither. She really isn't.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Ziba's not on the radar, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that like it was a focus to make her on the radar in the first two episodes. And now it just seems like they're stepping away from that. You got to let it breathe, give other suspects time to kind of get that. I think that's really what's going on. She's going to have a main part and there's going to be a connection to Bill. But I still think so. I forget what we decided. She and Andy invite is what we think.
No, we pegged her as a Lee because she is like the activist.
Okay, right.
She was the one questioning some of the stuff from Martin's presentation in episode two. So
yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next Tomas scene.
Yeah, I can take it just because I want to say, for being so like high security, high tech, all the stuff, this place is so fucking nonchalant. Like Darby, after envisioning everybody in the mask, kind of hallucinating people in the masks, she follows Tomas just all around. She sees that he's like going down into a basement of sorts, with like through a kitchen down to another kitchen. The staff is being like PR trained as we speak. She overhears that. And then like Tomas signed an NDA, girl. Like he got hired specifically for that. He doesn't want to say anything, but eventually she wears him down and he says the three teacup thing. We also get the scene where she walks by the room situations and she writes down everyone's room. And you can also see like allergies, which is only notable in this episode because that's probably either they did something to Rohan's pacemaker or they poisoned him because he had a peanut allergy. It had like a peanut on it. I think it had a cow with a strike and a peanut with a strike. So they probably poisoned him that way in his flask or some shit. But how lax is this fucking security in this place?
I think that's an illusion, though, because doesn't Andy go on to say that pretty much everything we were complaining about, how easy it was for Darby to do all that tech hacking, like he knew about all of it. I think he also knows about all of this because he later goes on to say. Yeah. So I think it's almost by design. Like it's, I don't know, now that you're like, it's obvious that she shouldn't be able to just like sneak in, right, go through all that. I think everyone's aware, at least whoever the bad guy is, whether it's Lee or Andy. I guess it's just like the servant quarters. It's not like that high security of an area, but I see what you mean.
Yeah.
There's also only like eight of them watching Ziva's performance. Why wouldn't anybody be like, yo, where were you for that half hour during her song? That was pretty rude. Where did you go? Tell me right now. Yeah. Norman, PR instructing the team. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. Is there any significance to us about the three teacups, or just that there were three people in the room, or like kind of a tip of the cap by the killer?
I think there's going to be three people in on it is what it seems. Yeah. Well, two plus Bill for whatever his side of it was. I don't know. I like the idea of it being more than one, but that also makes our job insanely hard. Yeah.
Interesting.
So after Darby talks to Tomas, she ends up back in her room and she has a good conversation with Ray, where she gets another quick summary of everybody's connection to Bill. And I wrote some things down here because we definitely learned, besides the Bill connections, we learned about some people's skills and like what they're actually good at, why they're here. So what I have written down, you guys correct me if I'm wrong or you took any other notes besides what I'm about to say, is Oliver, who's the genius roboticist, he's tweeted something about fangs. They've had like an interaction on social media. That's their connection. Yeah. Lumet has been on the same plane as Bill. That seems to be just like a little bit of a coincidence. Maybe they're like putting a little breadcrumb there for them to have met before. Lee went and saw one of his art exhibits in the past, but we find out more about that in their conversation, that they did know each other for a while. They visit each other. They were meant to be friends. Andy had no prior connection to Bill besides Lee. That's important. Rohan is the climatologist and an environmental activist who knew Bill. We get a lot more on that. It seems like he loved Bill, right? Like, we're taking that as that he like loved Bill, right? Is that not what we're supposed to take it as?
I only thought he loved Bill in the sense that someone who
as a son
sober up would. Yeah.
I, you know me, I'm always go to gay things right away. My brain is wired that way, but I thought it and then said, nah, it can't.
Okay. Maybe I was reading too into it, but I thought that was part of like their deeper connection of why he was so willing to just go into Bill's plan, whatever. But okay. So maybe it's just that he truly loved him as a friend, that same thing. But the more important piece was that Rohan went off the grid technologically. So there's nothing in the past couple, I think, years that Ray was able to give Darby. That could be important because that could be whenever their plans started to formulate prior to coming to Iceland. And then Sean was recruited by Andy to lead the moon colonization. Nothing new there. There was a mention about Martin. They had some sort of online connection, but I missed that piece. But that's all.
I liked a tweet about wealth disparity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. So that's our little bit of breadcrumbs we get from Ray at this scene.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most, Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Can I just, I was doing a little bit of sleuthing. I was writing down all the dates. I just thought it was interesting that the Oliver one was the only one that didn't have a date outright. Like Ray went and said in May 3rd, 2021, blah, 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 2017. But the Oliver one about him like dissing Fangs was the only one that didn't have a date. But in the tweet, it was reverted, but I like zoomed in on it. And it was March 31st, 2021. So if you go in order, it would be Andy and Sean for the lunar colonization in 2017. And then if you're assuming it's 2023, Rohan and Bill, he said he's been sober for 5 years. So you would assume that was 5 years ago. So 2018 again, Lou May and Bill being on the same flight in 2018. And then Martin liking the tweet in July of 2019. And then Oliver doing it in March 31st, 2021. So Oliver was the only one that was doing something bad to Bill and like dissing Fangs, and Ray didn't give a date. So I just wanted to mark that date for us.
I feel like there. Oliver for sure is an Andy invite.
Yeah. And then Lee went to the art show in Detroit, May 3rd, 2021, which we later find out in the news that Detroit was that big show that we'll talk about later. But I think that 2021 seems like a little bit of a year, so we'll see. I don't know who's to say. Anything else on this stuff? Because other than that, she sees the guy in the coat, and it's the mask scene, right?
Yeah. So it's Rohan walking through to signal to whoever. And to me, this was one of the more interesting scenes because I did not think it was going to go this way. But I like the idea of them reconnecting the Morse code, and it ends up saying one down, still a go, which I think is supposed to say like one of our allies is now dead, but let's still continue on with the plan, is what I took it as.
Yeah.
And it could also be read as like, we killed one of the targets, let's move on. But the way the punctuation was written, it seems like one, like we lost one, like the plan's still a go. Which Love one did that. You guys take it to, or which one? Which one seems more
I
realistic?
I took it as the latter, but now I'm subscribing to the former as ally.
Yeah, just since we're trying to find a murderer, I thought he would be in on the murder, but no, it could be interpreted both ways. And it also conflicted because I really, really, really don't think Rohan would do anything to harm Bill.
Yeah. Agreed.
I just think that was genuine, their relationship.
Which would have put $1 million on the fact that that was going to be the face of our bad guy for the season. Not the case. And I think it would be really interesting to somehow turn this story into Darby being on the masked guy's side. And whatever their goal or whatever Bill's previous goal was, like she just takes ownership over it and runs with it. Cause that would be another like something that I did not see coming at all. But anyway, so is that it? Like that was definitely Rohan. Like there's not probably another masked person working with them.
The shoes confirmed it, I would say.
Yeah. 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 But how predictable was it that she was going to get heard by him when she's like tailing him and like hits the rocks, dude? She's way too fucking close.
That was the most ridiculous scene. Iceland, beautiful, sweeping landscapes, but there's no cover. If you're tracking someone, she would have been seen, is what I'm trying to say. And the entire, they spent like 5 minutes committing to her, like tracking them. I'm like, this is ridiculous, guys.
Yeah.
Same with her tracking Tomas. I'm like, you're right behind him. You're making noise on the stairs. How is he not turning around being like, bitch, go upstairs?
Granted,
be down here.
It would have actually been a win if she got caught by the masked guy, because he wouldn't have killed her. They would have talked about it, I think, and everything would have came out, and whatever Rohan wanted to tell her while he was calling her on the phone before he dies would have came out there. So maybe it was a bad thing that she didn't get caught, but who knows?
Yeah. So moving forward, when Lee shows up with Zoomer, I thought that, and it still could be this, I thought Lee was like asking to play music to get Zoomer asleep because she wanted to like, you know, make noise so no one could hear their conversations, but then she ends up playing like a pretty quiet piano medley. So I wasn't sure. But this is where I was just sketched out. We get some information from Lee. We show the mask. It's just to thwart AI recognition. So yeah, I fully subscribe to the idea that the mask is like, we're going to be in an alliance with the mask people. But it makes sense because like everything in that building is tracking you. So even the good people would need to wear a mask to stay away from the bad people so they wouldn't know who it is. You know, makes sense to me.
I think the music being on was to cloud it from Ray overhearing because there was the throwaway line that he even said, oh, Dorby, I can't hear you over the over the music.
True.
Thought it was weird as hell, the whole scene where even after the conversation was done, she just curls up and sleeps in Darby's room. And Darby was like, okay, I guess you and your child can sleep here.
Yeah.
Well. Who pours a drink, takes a sip, and then goes to bed with half that fucking thing right there? Dumb.
Yeah, I
agreed.
Yeah, we already talked about her excuse is that she's a full-time mom and hosting the retreat, which is reasonable. Mm-hmm. She couldn't just like post up in a closet for hours. Yeah, I just think she's withholding information. And even if she says, oh, it was a one-time hookup he lost his heart on, I still think the potential for, because the timeline was like, Darby was like, and then after that you met Andy, and she was like, no, we had already been on and off again, but then we got pregnant. So she didn't say X, Y, and Z happened, and then me and Andy got pregnant. It's we hooked up, then me and Andy got pregnant, and I was hooked. So
yeah,
dude, I like that
subscribing to that.
I like
and
it.
That,
yeah.
That would also undercut like, the zoomer of it all is what is keeping the Andy and Lee bond like genuine or blackmail. That would completely take that out of the equation because Zoomer would actually be Bill's son and Lee would probably be protecting that secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lee could be lying about losing the hard on. I mean, it was kind of a weird thing to drop in that situation anyway. Be like, it's like she was trying to like respect Darby by being like, well, he lost his hard on. He lost his hard on. Don't get it. Don't get like, don't freak out. All right. It's, couldn't even stay hard.
Man, I don't think there's any reason to have those type of conversations unless there's something more with the pregnancy. And I'm now that just seems like something that's right there. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Let me ask you a quick Bill backstory question. So we find out that he was a hacker type guy as well. But back when Darby was doing the Lee thing on the garage, it didn't seem like he was a hacker then. Like, I think he had some skills, but he seemed pretty shocked. He didn't know who Lee was. I don't know if that's just because Lee was a woman. Men be like that sometimes. But I didn't get in the garage that he was like a pro hacker as well.
So,
but maybe he was.
I don't know if this is just my ignorance, but is would a hacker consider themselves like a programmer or like a coder? Because Bill's later described as like a failed programmer. That might be different than whatever Darby's skill set is, if that is like coding. Could all be the same thing. I don't really know the verbiage of like tech language like that, but I just assumed they had different tech skill sets.
It's a fair point to bring up. Also, he could have been inspired by how savvy Darby was with that stuff to go and seek it out, train himself. Yeah. And he also, or Lee rather, says that he came looking for her because he read her manifesto, presumably about the horrors and the terrors that technology might be bringing. So that's an interesting part of it. I'm not sure if we knew about her manifesto.
And that's why I asked, because I kind of wanted to know what came first. Was Bill seeking Lee out because he heard Darby mention Lee and was just like, oh, this is who Darby mentioned? Or was he already interested in that stuff in general? And I don't know. I don't think it's that important, but I asked because of the manifesto, and he obviously sought her out.
I do agree and think it's noteworthy that he doesn't seem very tech savvy in the flashbacks of him and Darby like one-on-one chasing the case. So
yeah,
I like Reddit, that you brought that up.
Reddit sleuthing does not equal programmer hacker yet.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the three of them curl up, Lee, Zoomer, and Darby, and then boom. Darby oversleeps through her alarm. Lee and Zoomer are gone. Norman shows up with another parka, and it's time to hit the slopes because Andy's got a surprise for the group. The surprise was pretty cool, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it was.
I also feel like we're kind of getting a highlight of each of the individual guests. Like, there was kind of a project that they have been working on with Andy or with, like... Know what I mean? Because we have Oliver and his machines. We had the filmmaker in episode one do his thing. And I guess you can count Ziba's song that she got like a performance. So I'm wondering if they're going to do that with every one of the guests and have like a project like that. But
no, I noticed that same exact thing. But this one specifically, kind of like opened everything up for me. Like this seems to be more high level, like what's the point of this show kind of thing, because we overhear later as gossip right after they get down from the mountain is Andy's talking about how these robots also were the ones that built the hotel that they're currently staying in. So like there's ways that they're interlocking some of this technology, really showing how it's going to change the world. And this did feel like a what the fuck kind of moment, like Westworld, like very futuristic type of moment. Like you saw how those bridges were being made, and like this can be the purpose is so that this can be done in any sort of extreme climate as long as the AI connections are there. So whatever the like this to me was like the coolest moment so far of the entire show was seeing this. I did not expect this when he said we were going up to the top of the mountain to see like the future of technology, but this was a really good, I guess, reveal, if you want to take it that way. But yeah, maybe there's a way that every episode we're going to have things build on top of each other, like somehow Martin's film AI usage is going to connect to Oliver's robots that are building, and we'll keep combining things as we're going through these episodes. But also this one seems like way more of an important piece to the puzzle than I would say Martin's film, because this could be like the implications of Oliver's invention seem to have like they could be a lot more useful to the story than whatever Martin was presenting. But yeah, it could be either way, just showcasing their skills or not.
I did not know what it was at first. I was like, had to squint and wait until they zoomed in. I was like, are those bugs? Like, what is that? Yeah. Then I understood what it was. So, I mean, still not quite, but it seemed like big robotic bugs, big gigantic builders.
I'll tell you what, they were big robotic bugs. You are not incorrect in saying that. On the way to the big robotic bugs, we get a conversation with Rohan and Darby, which I think we've already covered. He spills the beans. Yes, me and Bill did know each other in a past life. Like, I've been avoiding you for that reason. He helped me sober up. Here, want to take a shot? It's been 5 years for me. Ha ha ha. Also, yeah. He has to catch his breath. He has a pacemaker, which is going to, I guess, just give us reasonable doubt, or rather the other guests reasonable doubt about how he actually died in the end, but we'll stick a pin in that. After the big robotic bugs, we go to the igloo where we get the confirmation of the boots with the red laces. It was Rohan. Rohan is clearly scared and he's like, little girl, just leave it be. Also, David the Dick kind of hits on Darby, also calls her little girl and wants to have a drink with her later. So
this guy creep. Sucks. This guy.
Beat this guy it, sucks. David. Yeah. Fucking loser.
Yeah. I think we all want it to be David.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
They're not giving him anything. A lot of where like Oliver, this is really cool. We're not getting anything from Oliver, though. We just know that he created these things. And just like David, you're like, he's a creep, but he's not getting any screen time. So I guess more people this was Rohan's episode. He's dead now. We'll get more screen time in the next four episodes because there's only seven total. So,
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, this next piece is where my theory is going to come in. So go ahead. If you want to take us through, I'll jump in with my theory once we're... This is the Zoomer and Andy, and then Andy conversation, right?
Yep. So Darby sees Zoomer alone with his AI headset on, and Zoomer lets her give it a go. It's pretty cool, whatever. I don't think we're supposed to take much from that other than that his dad has clearly given him like the best technology that Ronson has to offer. Zoomer also drops that his parents constantly are fighting about the future. Zoomer's a weird kid, but that's to be expected. Andy comes in and interrupts and kind of just tries to draw a parallel between what Walt Disney was doing and kind of his vision for the future and how people called him crazy for making train tracks in his own property, but he was just testing the waters to make Disney World. He kind of uses that as parallels to say, oh, me and Zoomer were playing with hamsters. He loved having them birth, so we started mating them and tracking their traits, etc., etc. And like Walt Disney, I was using playing with Zoomer and the hamsters to envision a future for AI. And he says that his entire plan is to kind of mate AIs together to take, you know, the most desirable traits in an AI and then kind of yield the most advanced and most efficient, best form of AI. And he even says that Ray is the product of mating, I think, his home security and something else. I don't know.
Language processing algorithm.
There you go. So he's already kind of putting that into motion with Ray. And then he's just like, and all that said, I want you to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think something could the thing that could be going wrong is that he's cross-pollinating AIs. Like, I'm not smart like that, but something about that seems like it could take on sentience. I mean, if we're talking fucking Westworld here, then, you know, they have a mind, start having a mind of their own, whatever. But there's a scene earlier where Lee tells Darby, like, you got to play the part, sis. Like, you got to stop, like, being obviously sleuthing around here. And then it's too late. And he's like, girl, pack your bags. You're out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, she deserved. I think she deserved that. I mean, if I'm Andy and things are happening and people are dying and there's this girl like screwing shit up, I'm like, get out of here, girl.
So how can there be any world where Andy is like the bad guy trying to kill everybody after this scene? Because I feel like this scene changed my entire perception of Andy. I would have thought he was he was going to make sure that nobody leaves, but that's the reverse here. So that almost, I don't want to say it clears him, but that definitely lessens my suspicion of him. Cause why would he be kicking Darby out if the whole plan is to like, basically like, I don't know, whatever shady thing he's doing here, wouldn't that have always accounted for Darby being there? Like, what would have changed if he was in on Bill dying to then have kicked her out? That's the part that's really thrown me off, because it doesn't really track with any sort of my suspicions about Andy and his involvement with these murders. But it almost makes me go on the back foot and say, like, okay, hold on, like, maybe Andy is here for safety reason. Like, he's not for safety reasons, but here to like actually like facilitate what his goal was at face value of fighting climate change. Like, I don't know, this kind of cleared him a little bit for me. And I know we've been talking about how Andy's less suspicious this whole podcast, but is this part of the reason you guys had that same idea?
I didn't think about that. And I think that Andy, you're right. Andy could just, if Andy was the killer, he would just kill Darby too. Like, why would you want someone to leave knowing this bad stuff is happening and being suspicious? So,
right.
Yeah. But the more it goes on, the more I believe that he didn't want the death of Bill, one of his guests, just to affect the rest of this weekend, this retreat that obviously was very hard to coordinate and plan. And he just wanted the rest of it to go on as planned. At the end of the episode, when Rohan dies, we see that Andy seems surprised and he says, mm-hmm. who the hell betrayed me? So I think it took the second death for him to literally be like, oh, no, Bill's wasn't an accident, overdose. What I'm trying to say is, no, I don't think Andy has anything to do with the killings.
Right. Yeah. OK, cool. Yeah. That's a more fun route for this show to take. But when he does, I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about the whole ending scene here too, because the only other thing that happens is just the Fang's death gets reported on the news and we see some like kind of worldwide reactions to that. And then also the whole, like she calls Norman the doorman and then like tries to say I'm staying after she gets escorted out. But like all of this happens and I guess we could just free talk about it. But when Andy says, Todd, get everyone underground, like that got me really hyped, because I think next episode is going to be them going to like a safety spot. And it's really going to be locking on an idea that one of you guys is a murderer. We're not leaving until we figure it out. And then some crazy shit's going to happen. So I think it's a really good tee up to the, I guess, the midpoint point, right? Because next episode is going to be the middle of the season since we're only getting seven. So it does seem like a good tee up to the second half of the season.
Quick theory. So when Bill is explaining to Darby what happened with the timing, so per Andy, he injected himself like 6 minutes before Darby showed up. Mm-hmm. And then 2 minutes after he injected himself, Rohan and the mask showed up. And then like Darby showed up or whatever. They said they know that because of his heart rate spike, but doesn't he not wear his ring? I don't think he wears his ring. I think he like had it in his pocket at one point, or like on a necklace or something.
Did you notice that, or was there an audible cue? Nah, I don't want to wear this.
I'm not sure if I'm mixing this with another show, but I'm almost positive that he wasn't wearing his ring in one or two.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong because of the oxygen tank thing. So Luke, if you want to gaslight her, you're going to have to do it.
Okay, hold on. I'm Googling it really quick.
I was going to say you could just kind of look at the first episode, but that does seem like a Fangs kind of thing, but I don't think there wasn't any dialogue about it.
Fine. If that's true, then they didn't know his heart rate because he wasn't wearing it on his finger.
Right.
It would be in his pocket. But I'll do some research before. And if it stays, here's how you know. If you're listening to this and this is still in, then it's true. If it if it's not, then you have nothing to worry about because I will have deleted the whole thing.
Fair enough.
Okay?
That's great. All That's right. great. A little behind the scenes for you. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. I'll edit this one.
So, I mean, I guess we've kind of talked about what happens for the rest of this episode. She gets, what's the security guy's name? Theo?
Todd.
Todd, sometimes short for Theodore. Theo. Okay. No, that's not even a thing. Whatever. Both names that start with a T. Anyway, he's like, yo, car's here. We're going to Reykjavik because Andy gave you the stanky boot. And she's like, hey, Norman, why don't you leave Andy a message? I'm keeping the room. Okay. But security guy's trying to get her to leave, blah, blah, blah. She's about to go out the window. And then she gets a call from who else but Rohan, who is apparently ready to let her in the know and be like, no, you're totally right. Like, me and Bill, we're kind of working together on this thing. And of course, he's being super ambiguous. And then he's like, and I think I finally figured out what his big secret was. And I'm going to tell it to you in the next 10 seconds. Boom. My boy got dead.
So my only thought here, and Kathleen, you mentioned it, and this kind of just came to me as you were talking, and the pacemaker is most likely going to be used as the reason for his death, like you said. But what if the idea is if Ray is bad, like the AI is bad, and it has potential to affect different technologies like that? That could be part of it too. Like, he got to the point where whoever's listening hears that Rohan's about to divulge the secret and then kills him. Somehow that could connect into, I don't know, whatever Bill's got going on, but who knows? Because that was also timed well with the secret.
I'm starting to subscribe to the whole Ray or just an AI is taking on some form of sentience and is playing a role in this. Yeah, good idea. But that would also track as evidence. Also, when Darby was looking at the Icelandic news report, there wasn't much except for just some facts about Fang and his past. However, they did say that Fangs was vacationing alone in a remote town. And I don't think that incriminates Andy that that's the report, because either way, I think he doesn't want people to know about this retreat. But the story that got out is Fangs was vacationing alone in Iceland.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that's the episode, right?
It is. I'm excited for our next episode. I need just like a little bit more information. After the next episode, we'll be over the halfway point, and I think we'll be able to even theorize some more. Obviously, every episode you get to theorize. But
of course, we're not getting out of here without giving everybody's prediction of who the killer is. And I can remind you of who you guys guessed last week, and then we can all go around, do our best guess for this week. Do we want to also do what we did for the first podcast, where we also volunteer somebody that we're pretty convinced is clear?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So who wants to go first?
Well, remind us of last week's.
Okay. So last week, Brian was under the belief that David was the killer and Ziva was safe. Kathleen, you said Ray is the killer and Lume is safe. And I said Martin was the killer and Lee is safe. So some amendments for my guesses for sure.
I'm sticking with mine. Ray with Zoomer's body, and and then my safe is Rohan.
Wow, cop out.
No, I'm kidding. Safe is, I'm gonna say Ziba is safe, because not on my radar.
Okay. Okay.
Also, Ziba is safe. I'm sticking to my original guns, and also sticking with my guns. It's David until proven otherwise.
Okay. Good. And I updated. So I'm a little bit of a mixture here. I updated my killer to also being Ray after some of our talks to this podcast. Sounds like a cop-out answer, but I want some credit if it turns out to be that. And then my safe, instead of Lee, I'm going to say Andy now, which is a huge switch from where I thought I would be after watching the first episode. And I actually love that through three episodes, my mindset has changed as much as it has, because usually slow burns like this gives everybody time before you really have to lock down a response. But it seems like that Andy might be the red herring after all.
Love it.
Love
did
that.
Did anybody look up the like IMDb ratings for this episode relative to the first two? Luke, I feel like that's usually you.
I didn't look that up, but I did look up the give me a second. I'm just because I brought up the murder at the end of the world Rotten Tomatoes score, and I think that's still settled around right now. It's at 88% critics and 90% audience. Now for IMDb,
I feel like if that is based on a whole season's body of work, this show is going to get better if it's at 88% and 90%.
Agreed.
So the first, okay, so it does have the first three episodes ranked here. Episode one was a 7.8, episode two is an 8.0, and episode three was a 7.9. So very, you know, solid, above average TV. I'm sure, like I said this on the first podcast, the finale is really going to make or break this show. Like if the finale lands, everybody loves it, I think all of the ratings are going to go up, and then vice versa. If it doesn't stick it, everything's going to go down. That's just the way these shows go, because they hinge on those last reveals, and this isn't going to be an exception to that. So
totally.
Lean, you got anything else?
I don't. I love the potting on this show. It's super fun because I love a whodunit, and it's a good time. I'm enjoying it.
It's fun. Yeah. We don't always come across like murder mysteries like this. So it is fun to theorize. It's a unique thing coming from a podcaster's perspective. But
wait, hold on before we go. Are you under the impression, this is my last question, are we going to have like a death pretty much every episode from here on out? Or do you think
we didn't get an extra one in two? So we had Bill one, Rohan three. So no, I don't think we're going to get one every episode, but I think we'll get another or two at least.
Same. I think I'm the same way. Yep.
I don't expect more than two additional deaths.
Yep. Cool.
Otherwise, go ahead.
I was going to say, not counting any like mass exodus at the end, you know, like if at the end, oh, like true. A big showdown happens and Andy dies and Zoomer dies, you know what I mean? Like it could be anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, fingers crossed for that. Am I right? anyway, that is a wrap on A Murder at the End of the World, episode 3 coverage. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.